Now it's time to turn this over to Senator James Lankford, Senator Lankford of Oklahoma. We were in Oklahoma a few months ago. Senator Lankford, welcome back.
Thank you so much. Now it's my turn to be back in Oklahoma and have switch off with you.
Absolutely. First off, did you have a chance to see the Democratic Forum yesterday?
You know what? Sadly, I missed it. I actually had a telephone town hall with a whole group of folks that were Oklahomans in Tulsa area, and so I missed the Democratic Forum.
Well, what a shame. I'm going to get you the transcript. I can provide a DVD copy for your home use.
Well, let me just go ahead and guess. The transcript's going to be pretty close to Obama's done a great job. The economy couldn't be better. And we should raise taxes more, and the government should do more. Am I pretty close?
Absolutely. Raise taxes. Bernie Sanders said that. Hillary Clinton didn't. She said, I'm going to raise wages. She says, I'm going to raise taxes, but I'm going to get you all free health care for that. So fantastic. So here's Hillary Clinton, though, on something I watched you debate with the congressman from California,
yes,
about Hillary Clinton and how big a deal it is that the inspector general, who was appointed by President Obama and was unanimously confirmed by the Intelligence Committee and the entire Senate, is coming out saying that there's at least three dozen emails that are above the classified level. Here's what Hillary Clinton said last night about her emails. Cut three.
I had no intention of doing anything other than having a convenient way of communicating, and it turned out not to be so convenient. So, again, we've answered every question, and we will continue to do so. But, you know, maybe being faster, trying to scramble around to find out what all of this means, I probably should have done that quicker.
You're willing to say it was an error in judgment. You should have apologized.
No, I'm not willing to say it was an error in judgment because nothing that I did was wrong. It was not. It was not in any way prohibited, and so
do you agree with her statement?
I wish I'd have seen the whole thing, because that sounds like that was a lot of fun. No, absolutely, I do not agree with that statement. And let me tell you why that's incorrect. It wasn't just a for convenience. No other Secretary of State has ever used a private server. No other cabinet official has ever used a private server. And so she had to set up something different than anyone else has ever set up to do this and to be able to maintain that operation and to set up a server under what was called Clinton Email. That was the name of her server, Clinton Email, and to try to keep everything on her own. That's not for convenience. Convenience is to say to someone that's within the State Department, hey, I need to have a secure setting, set it all up and do it, and you guys do it, not have me actually take it up. That's number one. Number two is every Secretary of State deals with classified information on its face. We can't imagine the Secretary of Defense jumping in and saying, you know, I think I'm going to set up my own server at my own house and have my own communication that way. We would all be appalled at that. Well, the Secretary of State handles just as much classified information as the Secretary of Defense does. So just because something wasn't marked classified,
right,
if it's coming to the Secretary of State, it is classified.
I know where this is heading. And by the way, we're talking to Senator Lankford, who also is he's on the Homeland Security and Government Affairs Committee, and also the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. So this is right up your alley. Senator, I think she's going to say, hey, I'm 68 years old. I'm not the most technically inclined person. Whoever told me to set it up in there, that's their problem. I don't really know. Can she get away with that?
She has already started that process, actually. There's been multiple conversations say, I didn't send any emails and nothing was marked classified. What she's really saying there is, it wasn't my fault, it's staff fault. If some classified information ended up in there, and we now know there's over 1,300 emails that are either sensitive or classified or top secret that are on her server that we know of so far, because they have failed to release the last batch. So there's still one more batch to go. So 1,300 so far. Her statement has been over and over again, I didn't do it. So in other words, if you find classified information, blame it on staff. Don't blame it on me. It's not my fault. And it's fairly typical Clinton process, is that it's always someone else's fault. It never gets to them.
Well, Senator Lankford, too, I think it's also important to point out that the inspector general that gave this story and started speaking through a source to Catherine Herridge, it's not a political hack. If anything,
no.
He's a Democrat. You would think he passed mustard with the president and with the Intelligence Committee. What can you tell me about this guy?
Right. The Inspector General was selected by President Obama. passed through the committee unanimously, was seen as a nonpartisan individual. The Inspector General was responding to a request from the Intelligence Committee and the Foreign Affairs Committee in the House and in the Senate to say, give us an update because we're not getting information about classified information. So give us an update of what's happening in this because they have particular jurisdiction. So the Inspector General gave them the update in a very clean fashion, didn't go into detail on it. And that's what is now out, is this report. So this wasn't something the Inspector General instigated. This was a request that came from a lawful committee in a appropriate form. Here's the one thing that everyone's missing, though, Brian, and you're tracking this, but very few other people are. People ask, what's the problem with this? Hillary Clinton keeps saying, I didn't know anything was classified. It's not marked classified, because her legal problems circle around this one phrase. Did she willfully retain classified information in a non-secure location? So if she continues on this same track of saying, I didn't know, because the law circles around intent. Did you intend to retain this classified information outside a secure setting? It is difficult for me to find any way other than she willfully retained it. Anything it says, and there are things that did say for your eyes only, or things that said foreign information on it, those are on their face. Classified. The intel term is they're born classified because that's the only thing that they can be. Anything that talks about sources and methods or individuals or how they gathered information, all of those things are born classified. There's no way they can be anything other than that. And so willfully retained becomes the big issue here. When David Petraeus was having an affair with a military intelligence officer named Paula Broadwell, David Petraeus passed on some classified information to her. She had security clearance. Both of them had clearance, but the problem was Paula Broadwell kept some of that information in a non-secure location. She willfully retained classified information in non-secure. Because of that, she lost her clearance, security clearance, and she had to then step down from her intel task with the United States Army. So we'll have this odd situation where the Secretary of State and someone running for president would have the highest level of security clearance, and if you were an Army intel officer, you would have already lost your job and lost your clearance for doing something exactly like it.
All right, Senator Lankford, I got to bring you to something else that I don't agree with you on. You believe that you know there's a big push to get Alexander Hamilton off the off the $20 bill, right?
That's correct. The president's pushing to get Alexander Hamilton off the 20.
And put a woman on there. We don't even know who.
Right.
All right, so you have a better idea. What's your idea?
Well, my better idea is if you're going to replace somebody off of one of the bills, which I have no problem with a lady being on one of the bills, that you would replace the 20. You were talking about Andrew Jackson has a pretty checkered history. He was a rugged mountain man, to say the least, but he was also the one that relocated Native American tribes out of all of the southeast part of the United States and did forcible removal, and tens of thousands of Native Americans died during the Trail of Tears and other things. So if we're going to remove someone, which I have no problem doing, then let's do the 20, not the 10, the very first Secretary of the Treasury, Alexander Hamilton.
But, you know, Alexander, you know that Andrew Jackson's done some really good things. I mean, well, in terms of a general, without the Battle of New Orleans, War of 1812 doesn't end like it did. That was one of America's greatest all-time victories. I think he was a fine president. He was the first everyman president to get elected. He was orphaned as a child. His life story is a great American story, even though not everything's perfect.
Sure. And I would tell you, not everything in my life is perfect as well, to say the least, either. Andrew Jackson, let me give you one thing you left out on there. Andrew Jackson was also the last president when the country had no debt at all, was under President Andrew Jackson, was the last time we were totally balanced, no debt at all. So it has been a long time since our nation's been out of debt. That circled around Andrew Jackson. So not everything is bad in that, but I would tell you there are some pretty stark parts of that presidency that do stand out that we look back on and it doesn't mean Andrew Jackson's off everything. He's been on the 20 for a long time. But I would say if we're going to replace somebody on that list of folks that are on current bills right now, my choice would be Andrew Jackson.
You know, I was very happy last night, $2.10 for a gallon of gas. But I also know it's so low that somebody's paying the price. And perhaps Texas and Oklahoma are paying a huge price for how low, and also the fracking industry overall, how low oil prices are. How are you guys compensating? How are you surviving?
It's incredibly difficult in Oklahoma. All the energy states, whether it be North Dakota, Louisiana, Texas, Oklahoma, that's a major part of our economy. With oil around $32, and I would tell you in Oklahoma City right now, you can get gasoline for $1.35 a gallon, which is a terrific price for consumers, but we all understand very well what that means. We have a $1 billion shortfall in our state budget, and that's an enormous hole for a state like ours, and will be a big issue for us. And it's a lot of jobs that have been lost and a lot of families that are hurting in the process.
Is it a wake-up call to diversify, or is it wait it out, hold on tight?
Oh, no, we've been through this before as a state. Anyone who's in the oil patch area, you understand well there are booms and busts that happen over and over again with the cycle. We are a very, very diverse state in our personal energy profile. I mean, we have wind and solar and hydroelectric and geothermal, oil, gas, and coal that are all actively used in Oklahoma. So we are truly an all-of-the-above state. But we also understand that we export an awful lot of natural gas and oil around the country and now around the world with the lifting of the export ban. Finally, that allows opportunity to be able to have some additional jobs that would be added back. But yeah, it's a tough deal for all those families, and especially hard for the kids and for the education establishments, because all the schools really get hurt in the process of this kind of cut.
So lifting the oil ban, allowing you to sell oil to other countries, has that already impacted you guys?
It does already impact everything. There's in the United States, we trade on something called West Texas Intermediate, which you'll hear WTI in the industry. That price is usually lower than the international price, Brent price. The price of gasoline is based on Brent crude. What happened is 2 days after the oil ban was lifted, the oil export ban was lifted, West Texas Intermediate rose up and was actually above Brent crude, and yesterday it was a penny above Brent crude as well. It's balanced out. That means that our folks in America are getting the same price internationally that's happening. If the price of gasoline is already based on the international price, we lose money every time that we try to do any kind of trading. So it doesn't affect the consumer price, but it sure does affect a lot of jobs and a lot of production, and it allows our folks to start competing. And quite frankly, for geopolitical power, it is one of the best things. When we talk about exporting and competing with Russia and saying we're going to take customers away from Russia so Europe doesn't can buy from the United States rather than Russia, that's a tremendous gain to us in power.
All right, this Iranian deal has already rocked the world. We see Rouhani, the president of Iran, in Italy. He's going to go in and look to – he's already bought a whole bunch of jumbo jets from Airbus. So what do you think the long-term impact of this Iranian deal is?
Oh, I think it's a huge shift in the Middle East. For decades, the Middle East has isolated Iran, and this president came in saying he wants to bring Iran back to the center of the Middle East and to be able to bring them in the club of nations, quote unquote. And that has most certainly occurred. So they have billions of dollars. They're awash in cash right now to be able to go streamline their economy. They are now the big dog in the region, and that's a huge power shift in the region. So there are long-standing issues. This is not going to be something that's going to be a problem for the next couple of months. This is going to be a problem for the next several decades, and will lay at the president's feet as Iran rises to be a nuclear power and a regional power again in the ways that we have not seen in decades and decades.
Senator Lankford, thanks so much. I know you can't get to Washington. It's breaking your heart. You get to stay home in Oklahoma.
And you know what? I'll be home through tomorrow morning. The House is out all week long because of the snow. The Senate will actually be back starting tomorrow, and we'll be able to finish out the rest of the week and be able to knock some stuff out. We're working on an energy bill the rest of the week that is desperately needed, not dealing with just oil and gas, but all energy policy, and we'll see what we can get done this week.
All right. Thanks a lot, Senator.
Thanks, Brian.